cheese. And she got Ethan a single packet of gummies.
Mm-hmm.
My mom took them and put them inside, like, the initial box. She put it inside of, like, three or four boxes and had them open it. Willow's, like, opening it, and she's like, oh, how many more boxes? Ethan's like, he's like, Grandma, why did you do this to me? And then they finally get to it. Ethan's like, it's gummies. Willow's like, mac and cheese, and you would have thought like she struck gold.
She did liquid gold
because that's all they wanted. Like, they were like, psh, toys, what? Give me my mac and cheese.
Honestly, sometimes that's all you need.
Yeah, mac and cheese is good. I haven't had macaroni and cheese in a long time, though. Man,
I bought macaroni and cheese the other day, but I never made it because I don't have any milk.
Gonna go ahead and give you guys fair warning because I know we're recording now. If you hear me burbling, we just ate lunch, and so I burble.
She does. My tummy. Part of her thing. Can I have that paper?
Oh, yeah.
Is that the right paper?
Yep.
Okay, cool.
Alaska.
Well, hi, everybody. I'm Sarah.
Hi, I'm Alicia.
And this is
Sinister States. Ba-ba-bum.
So, yeah. So, welcome back. This week, we're in Alaska.
Alaska.
So, we will have officially done the last two states in the United States. Alaska and Hawaii are the final two, like, out of in order of when they became states. And I'm actually surprised that people voted for them, because I feel like, I know Hawaii was hard. Like, there wasn't a whole lot of stuff to choose from for Hawaii. I don't know if you had a hard time with Alaska.
I kind of did.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe it's just because, well, it's not like they're young, but I don't know. I just felt like there was a lot less true crime to choose from in Alaska and Hawaii, but
I think some of it potentially has to do with the fact that, like, we don't have, like, the whole history of it, you know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah, like, for example, Delaware was our first state that goes all the way back to, like,
right,
gosh, don't ask years. I'm a bad history
degree holder. We got Hawaii in, what, like, the 50s, wasn't it? Like, it,
yeah, Hawaii became a state in, like, 1957.
That's what I was going to say. We've not had it that long. Like, no. Not really. Not in the long scheme.
Nope. But we're in Alaska this time, so the two non-continental United States will be complete, and that's exciting.
Bum, bum, bum.
Bum, bum, bum. So, did you want to talk about Ethan?
Oh, yeah. So, I've got some exciting news, guys.
Yeah.
So, my sweet little Ethan came home yesterday with his test scores from the state level. And, like, I've told you guys, like, he has ADHD, was recently diagnosed with, you know, like, slight autism, or being on the spectrum, however you want to put it.
Mm-hmm.
And he struggles a lot with math and reading. And so we had switched his schools, like, right at the end of October, 1st of November, and he got sick with the flu and COVID immediately after we switched schools, and then they did the first round of iReady testing right before Christmas, between the Thanksgiving and Christmas holiday. So, he did his math at the end of November, and then he done his reading in the middle of December. And when they came back to school, they just did their second round of testing to see where they are. And this time, when we got his test scores, his math had improved by 41 points and his reading improved by 30 points. So we are so excited, because it makes my husband and I feel like we made the right decision, because we've been like, have we made the right decision? You know, there's always that
hesitation
as to whether you're making the right choice for them or not. Because I'm sure you probably have the same thing, like, when you're trying to take Zorro to the vet, or am I going to the right vet? Is he going to the right place? Am I doing this right? Am I doing that? Like, that's basically the same thing being a parent. Like, you're a parent to another thing. You're responsible for it.
Yeah, and you don't know if you're doing it right.
Right? And if you're not taking care of it, you're going to jail. It's all the same. Dog, child, it's all the same.
Same thing.
The only difference is if I really screw mine up, then we read about the people who get screwed up.
Yeah, but the only saving grace that you have is your child can talk to you.
Yeah, that is
Zora
true.
will never be able to speak
That is
English.
true.
Or any
Oh.
other language, but that's okay. But I'm super proud of Ethan.
He
That's
speaks
amazing.
puppy.
He doesn't speak at all. If you
He's
didn't
just like,
notice,
oh.
yeah, I have to make him speak, and
Yeah,
he'll only
that's
speak for
true.
treats. He doesn't speak.
Love it.
He's a very quiet dog.
He's a quiet. Some are.
He is. Yeah, he's
You're the
very
next
quiet.
one you get will be wide open.
Oh, 100%.
It's always that first one, first child, first animal, whatever. The first one always tricks you into thinking you're safe to get a second.
He's technically our second dog.
I'm just
But
saying. Well,
I'm
he's your
saying,
first from a puppy, though.
yeah, he's the first
From the
puppy.
puppy phase. That's what I'm saying. Like, he's gonna make you think. And then you'll get that second one and they'll be at each other's throats.
You're probably right. But yeah, so.
My little Ethy, there we go.
Yay, that's some good news.
I'm proud of him. Very, very. We took him out to get ice cream at Andy's last night.
And he loved it, I'm sure.
Dude, the little turd didn't even drink half of it.
Oh, he got a shake.
Yeah, he likes their birthday cake shakes because they have like pieces of cheesecake in
Oh, yeah, I think we talked
it.
about this before because I said I had
And
to
the
go get one.
sprinkles. Sprinkles and cheesecake.
I still haven't gotten one. But I'll get one one
I
day.
had a cookie butter.
I love cookie butter. Have you ever bought just regular cookie butter?
No.
They sell it in the store.
It's like the, what is it? The, some kind of cookie.
Biscoff.
Biscoff cookie,
Yep.
yeah. So it's the Biscoff cookie. The cookie's crumbled up in it, and then it's got the swirls of
Don't tell
the
me that, because
cookie
I'm going
butter
to
in it.
Andy's like right now at this point.
Yeah.
I only know
It's
of one
so good.
Andy's, so I'd have to drive all the way across town. But
Yeah. It's over there near the gym.
yeah, that's the only one I know.
Yeah.
I know there's a second one somewhere, I just don't know where it is, because I think I've passed it like one time, but that was
But
before I knew where I was.
that's what I got. It was great, and then I went home and I went to sleep. I crashed because all that sugar hit.
Yeah.
Even when I got a small, it still hit. And I was done for, but it was really good.
Good. That's awesome. Well, I'm gonna jump in. Like I said, we're in Alaska.
Alaska, the land of ice and snow.
There is quite a bit. And they also have like 6 months of darkness and 6 months of light,
Yeah.
which is crazy to me. It's the way of
What
life
was
for
that
them.
movie? 30 Days of Night. Did you ever see that one?
Mm-mm.
Oh, never mind.
Yeah, I'm really bad. I don't know pop culture like at all.
It was set in Alaska, or it was supposed to be in Alaska. Basically, what happened? You remember Josh Hartnett, the
Yeah.
actor? So
Yeah.
he starred in it.
Did he really?
Yeah, and he was like the sheriff or whatever of the town, and they were going into that dark phase, and people were getting out of town that were leaving.
Yeah.
And then the ones that stayed behind were like the locals that stayed there all the time.
Okay.
But during that 30 days of night, these vampires, and the vampires are super scary. Like, if there was ever a like vampire movie that I believe could potentially have been real, it was that one.
Really?
Yes.
I have
That
not
one
seen it.
guy played in it, and he's freaky on a good day. So, like, he's scary. He plays the bad guy in everything he plays, but I can't think of his name.
Okay. Well, I'll have to look it up because no, I've never
Yeah.
seen it. I don't even think I've
But
heard of
it was
it.
like a vamp, like vampires, and it was good. Creepy. Not like nightmare creepy, but like those vampires were believable.
I
Like,
believe you.
there was ever one I would believe that could just kill you and eat your soul. It was them.
Fair enough. Well, I'll keep it on my list. All right.
Put it on your tab.
Yeah, add it to the ever-growing list of classic movies that I've never seen. All right, so I'm going to jump into our missing person. So this is Michael Timothy Palmer. Ew.
Yeah.
I don't like the teeth. Sorry, she
That's what
showed
I'm
me a picture
saying.
of one of
That's what I'm
the.
saying. Like, if there was one I could believe, it would be that movie.
Yeah, I could see that.
And that guy
Sorry.
plays
Not
bad
ew
guy.
to this missing person, ew to
No.
that vampire that she showed me. Okay, so yeah, so this is Michael Timothy Palmer. He has been missing since June 4th of 1999. He was born January 8th, 1984, which would make him 40 years old today. He's missing from Wasilla, Alaska, and he is a white male. He went missing at the age of 15, and his classification is endangered missing. At the time that he disappeared, he was 5 foot 5 to 5 foot 6 and around 110 pounds. He was last seen wearing a t-shirt, blue jeans, and a black jacket with red stripes on the sleeves and the Marlboro cigarette logo on the lapel. There's an associated vehicle in this incident, which is a bicycle. And then some distinguishing characteristics. He is a Caucasian male, blonde hair, blonde slash brown hair, blue eyes. He is left-handed. His nickname is Mike. And at the time of his disappearance, his hair was shaved on the sides and longer in the center. So Michael spent the night at a friend's home while in Wasilla, Alaska on June 4th, 1999. The night he slipped out of the house and attended a graduation party with three friends near the Meadow Lake subdivision outside Wasilla. He was last seen riding a bicycle down Pittman Road in the direction of his family's residence at approximately 4 a.m. His residence was approximately 9 miles from the location of the party. His friends had been riding with him, but he fell behind them. They waited for him at the 7-Eleven on Parks Highway, but gave up and assumed he went home. He never did arrive at his residence, however, and his mother reported him missing at 3 p.m. that day, 11 hours after he was last seen. Michael has never been seen again. The bicycle with which he had borrowed was located sometime later in the Little Susitna River, which runs roughly parallel to the Pittman Road and Silver Drive intersection. Michael's high-top Converse sneakers were also discovered near a private runway for a homeowner's personal aircraft. They were wet and muddy. No other evidence concerning his whereabouts was discovered. Some reports have speculated that Michael may have been beaten by an unknown suspect or suspects while riding his bicycle. A local youth claimed he witnessed Michael being beaten and shot on a bridge, but later the young man admitted that he had made up the story. Others have theorized that Michael may have fallen into the river and died of hypothermia shortly afterwards, but tracker dogs could not trace his scent and the Could not trace his scent there, and no one saw a body in the still clear water. Michael's older brother Charles, aka Chucky, disappeared near Talkeetna, Alaska, in April of 2010, almost 11 years after Michael vanished. Charles was 30 years old at the time. He went on a snow machine ride and never returned, and his snow machine was later found stuck in the deep snow. He is presumed to have perished of exposure and was declared legally dead in April of 2011. Michael's family stated he was not a troubled teen in 1999, and it would be unlike him to run away from home and be gone for so long without contacting his family. His father believes he may be deceased, but his case remains unsolved. So, potentially he's out there, but who knows? If this is you or sounds like you, then maybe let your family know. But I think it's really weird that his brother went missing as well. So, it's also like Alaska. And I want to say, I follow this girl on TikTok. Her name is Elise. And she lives in, I think, Wasilla, Alaska. And it's probably not the same. Maybe she went to Wasilla, but she lives in a remote part of Alaska where it takes 7 hours to get to the nearest town. So, for all we know, this is like one of those instances where like there might only be like 50 people that live in the area, and then the next like biggest town is like hours and hours away, and like there's a lot of snowfall and everything. Like, it's very likely that these people perish, unfortunately, due to the weather, but
And just the circumstances, because I mean, if you're out there in Alaska and you get a flat tire, where we would get a flat tire and be like, oh, we're gonna change this real quick. I mean, it's so cold there, you could get hypothermia out there trying to change your tire, really, or you couldn't even potentially couldn't even be able to change it because you gotta have, be able to like put it on a jack and all the thing. Even something as a tire change for them could be life-threatening.
Yeah, it's terrifying, but that is our missing person. So I'm gonna jump in to, oops, I gotta unlock it. My Alaska case, and this is going to be a murderer, murderer.
A murderer?
Yep, Robert Hansen.
Never heard of her.
I don't know her.
Right.
No, I've never heard of Robert Hansen. That's why I picked it. Well, him. All right. So, Robert Hansen was born in Estherville, Iowa on February 5th, 1939, and was the eldest of two children to an American mother, Edna Margaret Hansen, and a Danish father, local baker Christian Hansen. Robert was employed at his father's bakery, and eventually the family moved to Richmond, California in 1942, but returned to Iowa in 1949 and settled in Pocahontas. Yep. In his youth, Hansen was painfully shy, had a stutter, and suffered severe acne that left him permanently scarred.
Oh.
Yeah. Throughout childhood and adolescence, he was described as a quiet loner who had a difficult relationship with his domineering father. Hansen started to practice both hunting and archery, often finding refuge in these pastimes. In 1957, he enlisted in the United States Army Reserve and served for 1 year before being discharged. He later worked as an assistant drill instructor at a police academy in Pocahontas.
Wow.
There, he began a relationship with a younger woman whom he married in the summer of 1960. On December 7th, 1960, Hansen was arrested for burning down a Pocahontas County school bus garage as revenge for his unpopularity in high school. He served 20 months of a 3-year prison sentence in Anamosa State Penitentiary. During his incarceration, he was diagnosed with manic depression with periodic schizophrenic episodes. Oh, the psychiatrist who made the diagnosis noted that Hansen had an infantile personality who was obsessed with getting back at people he felt had wronged him. Hansen's wife filed for divorce while he was incarcerated. Over the next few years, Hansen was jailed several times for petty theft. In 1967, he moved to Anchorage, Alaska with his second wife, whom he had married in 1963, and whom he had two children. In Anchorage, he was well-liked by his neighbors and set several local hunting records. In December of 1971, Hansen was arrested twice, first for abducting and attempting to rape an unidentified housewife, then for raping an unidentified prostitute. He pleaded no contest to assault with a deadly weapon in the former offense. The rape charge involving the prostitute was dropped as a part of a plea bargain. Hansen was sentenced to 5 years in prison, and after serving 6 months of his sentence, he was placed on a work release program and released to a halfway house. In 1976, Hansen pleaded guilty to larceny after he was caught stealing a chainsaw from an Anchorage Fred Meyer store. He was sentenced to 5 years in prison and required to receive psychiatric treatment for his bipolar disorder. The Alaska Supreme Court reduced his sentence, and he was released with time served. Hansen is believed to have begun killing around 1972. His modus operandi was to pick up a prostitute in his car and force her at gunpoint to his home, where he would rape her. He would then take her out to a secluded area and, quote, hunt her as if she were wild game before shooting or stabbing her.
Oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm. It is believed by authorities that Hansen's first
this
murder...
This took a turn real quick. I'm just throwing that out there.
Yeah. It is believed by authorities that Hansen's first murder victim was 18-year-old Celia Van Zanten. Van Zanten was kidnapped on December 22nd, 1971, and froze to death in the wilderness after escaping from her abductor. Her body was discovered on December 25th. The abduction occurred 3 days after Hansen committed his assault on the prostitute, for which he was imprisoned. While there are some similarities to Hansen's modus operandi and Van Zanten's abduction, there is no conclusive evidence linking him to the attack, and he himself denied involvement. Then, on June 13th, 1983, Hansen offered 17-year-old Cindy Paulson $200 to perform oral sex when she got into the car. He then pulled out a gun and drove her to his home in Muldoon. There, he held her captive and proceeded to rape and torture her. She later told police that after Hansen chained her by the neck to a post in his basement, he took a nap on a couch nearby. When he awoke, he put her in his car and took her to Merrill Field Airport, where he told her that he intended to, quote, take her out to his cabin, which was a shack in the Nick River area of the Montanuska Susitna Valley, accessible only by boat or bush plane. Paulson crouched in the back seat of the car with her wrists cuffed in front of her body, saw a chance to escape when Hansen was busy loading the cockpit of his airplane, a Piper PA-18 Super Cub. While Hansen's back was turned, Paulson crawled out of the back seat, opened the driver's side door, and ran toward nearby 6th Avenue. Paulson later told police that she had left her blue sneakers on the passenger side floor of the sedan's back seat as evidence that she had been in Hansen's car. Hansen panicked and chased her, but Paulson reached 6th Avenue and managed to flag down a passing truck. The driver, Robert Yount, alarmed by Paulson's disheveled appearance, stopped and picked her up. He drove her to Mush Inn, where she jumped out of the truck and ran inside. While she pleaded with the clerk to phone her boyfriend at the Big Timber Motel, Yount continued on to work, where he called the police to report the incident. When Anchorage Police Department officers arrived at the Mush Inn, they were told that Paulson had taken a cab to the Big Timber Motel. Anchorage police officers arrived there and found Paulson in room 110, still handcuffed and alone. She had taken the Anchorage police headquarters. She was taken to Anchorage police headquarters, where she described the perpetrator as Hansen. Oh, not as Hansen. Yes, as Hansen. Hansen was then brought in and questioned by Anchorage police officers, and he denied Paulson's accusations, stating that she was trying to cause trouble for him because he would not pay her extortion demands. Although he had several prior run-ins with the law, Hansen's meek demeanor and humble occupation as a baker, along with an alibi from his friend John Henning, kept him from being considered as a serious suspect.
Wow.
Right.
What a jerk.
Detective Glenn Floth of the Alaska State Troopers had been part of the team investigating the discovery of several bodies in and around Anchorage, Seward, and the Matanuska-Susitna Valley area. The first of the bodies was found by construction workers near Eklutna Road. The body, dubbed Eklutna Annie by investigators, had never been identified. Later that year, the body of Joanna Messina was discovered in a gravel pit near Seward, and in 1982, the remains of 23-year-old Sherry Morrow were discovered in a shallow grave near the Nick River. Floth believed all three women had been murdered by the same perpetrator. Floth contacted the Federal Bureau of Investigation Special Agent John Douglas and requested help with an offender profile based on the three recovered bodies. We're doing a lot of profiling in this.
There we go.
In these episodes. Douglas thought the killer would be an experienced hunter with low self-esteem, have a history of being rejected by women, and would feel compelled to keep, quote, souvenirs of his murders, such as victims' jewelry. He also suggested that the assailant might stutter. Using this profile, Floth investigated possible suspects until he reached Hansen, who fit the profile and owned a plane. Supported by Paulson's testimony and Douglas's profile, Floth and the APD secured a warrant to search Hansen's plane, vehicles, and home. On October 27, 1983, investigators uncovered jewelry belonging to some of the missing women, as well as an array of firearms in a corner hideaway of Hansen's attic, which included a 223 caliber Ruger Mini 14 semi-automatic rifle. Also found was an aeronautical chart with 37 little X marks on it, hidden behind Hansen's headboard. Many of these marks matched sites where bodies had been found previously. Others were discovered later at the locations marked on Hansen's murder map.
Oh my gosh, he kept a map?
He kept a murder map.
Did he have murder glasses?
I think so. Hang on, let me pull up the photo. Hang on.
We can say he's a serial killer, but unless he has the glasses.
He had glasses.
All those count.
Yeah, he had murder glasses. Ew, your face says it all. He's cringeworthy.
He is.
Yeah. So when confronted with the evidence found in his home, Hansen denied it as long as he could, but he eventually began to blame the women and tried to justify his action.
Always the woman's fault.
I know, it can never be the person, you know, murdering. Eventually confessing to each item of evidence as it was presented to him, he admitted to a spree of attacks against Alaskan women starting in 1971. Hansen's earliest victims were girls or young women, usually between the ages of 16 and 19, and not prostitutes, unlike the victims who led to his discovery. Hansen is known to have raped and assaulted over 30 Alaskan women and to have murdered at least 17, ranging in age from 16 to 41. Although based on evidence, law enforcement suspect that Hansen killed at least 21 female victims. Yep. The following is a list of Hansen's known victims and several other additional women who have been mentioned as possible victims. Of these 18 women, Hansen was only formally charged with the murders of 4. Sherry Morrow, Joanna Messina, Eklutna Annie, and Paula Goulding. He was also charged with the kidnapping and rape of Cindy Paulson. So the first one is Celia Beth Van Zanten, who we talked about earlier. She was 18 years old and was at home with two of her three older brothers on December 22nd, 1971. The three of them shared a house on Nick Avenue in South Anchorage, close to Northern Lights Boulevard, with their older brother and cousin. Her parents resided in a different home in Anchorage. In the late evening, Beth left. Oh, they call her Beth. Beth left her house and walked a few blocks to the nearby Bilo.
What up?
The Bilo. I've never been to a Bilo.
They're not around anymore.
Oh. She
They
walked a
closed
few
them all
blocks
down.
to the nearby Bilo supermarket. The Bilo closed at 9 p.m. and she left at 8:30. Between 8:45 and 9 p.m., a witness spotted Beth go to the Bilo. At around 9 p.m., a neighbor claimed to have spotted her on Northern Lights Boulevard. She never reached the Bilo. Her disappearance was reported 2 days later. On December 25th, 1971, her body was discovered at Chugach State Park, close to Anchorage. Her chest had been sliced with a knife, and she had been bound and subjected to a sexual assault. She had been dumped, still alive, into a deep ravine before passing away from exposure. According to forensic evidence, she attempted to climb back up the slope but was unable to do so due to her bindings. Hansen has been accused of killing her because of an X on his aircraft map, but he denied responsibility for both her death and other women's homicides who were not involved in prostitution. So that was one victim. Next, we have Megan Siobhan Emmerich. She was 17 at the time and vanished on July 7th, 1973, in Seward, Alaska. She was last spotted leaving a dorm laundry room while attending the boarding school Seward Skill Center. She has not been seen or heard from since. Megan left behind all of her personal items, including her identification. Before contacting the police, her roommate conducted a 3-day search for her. Hansen denied killing her to authorities, but he did admit he was in Seward on the day Megan vanished. Due to an X on his aircraft map in the Seward region, he is thought to be responsible. Apparently, Hansen admitted to a former inmate that he transported Megan to a cabin in the Seward region, that was only reachable by boat, where he killed and buried her. Yep.
Dude.
Then, on July 5th, 1975, Mary Kathleen Thill, age 22, disappeared from Seward, Alaska. Her husband was away working on the Trans-Alaska pipeline, and she lived on Lower Point Road. She was driven into town by a friend who then dropped her off at a local bakery. Between 1:30 p.m. and 2 p.m., a different acquaintance saw her by a waterfall on Lowell Point Road. Okay. She has not been seen or heard from since. Hansen acknowledged being in Seward on the day Thill vanished, but denied killing her. An X on his aviation chart in the vicinity of Resurrection Bay increased suspicions about him. Hansen admitted to killing her and discarding her body in Resurrection Bay, according to a former prisoner. Crazy. Then, the remains of Aklutna Annie were discovered buried next to a power line in a wooded area 1 mile south of South Aklutna Lake Road in Aklutna, Anchorage, Alaska, on July 21st, 1980. Hansen admitted to stabbing her in the back after she made an effort to flee from his car. She was either a topless dancer or a prostitute, according to Hansen, who also claimed that she was his first murder victim. Despite his claim that Aklutna Annie might have come from Kodiak, Alaska, troopers think she might have arrived in Alaska via California. Her body had been largely consumed by wildlife when it was found in a shallow grave near Aklutna Lake Road.
Oh.
Then, local topless dancer 24-year-old Joanne Messina went out to dinner with Hansen on May 19, 1980, while she was working in Seward, Alaska. Before she offered him sex in exchange for cash, Hansen claimed that everything was going smoothly. Hansen refused to pay and refused to release her, so he drove her and her dog to a distant place by the Snow River. He hit her with a .22 caliber revolver before shooting her twice and the dog once. He brought Messina's body to a gravel pit nearby and dumped gravel over her body. The dog and Messina's belongings were thrown into the woods, and the gun was thrown into the Snow River. On July 8th, 1980, her severely decomposed body was found after it had been eviscerated by wildlife. Then, on June 28th, 1980, Roxanne Easland, then 24 years old, mysteriously vanished. She had been residing at the Budget Motel on Spinard Road in Anchorage, Alaska, with her boyfriend for the previous 2 weeks. On that day, she was scheduled to meet an unnamed man downtown on 4th Avenue. She has not been seen or heard from since. Although Hansen admitted to killing her, her body was never discovered. Then, at the nightclub she worked at in Anchorage, Alaska, Lisa Futrell met and was subsequently kidnapped by Hansen on September 6, 1980. When the 41-year-old failed to return home following her September 7th shift at the club, her two younger housemates reported her missing. Her body was discovered on May 9th, 1984, buried next to a gravel pit south of the former Nick Arm Bridge.
Isn't it sad that these girls are having to look out for each other?
Mm-hmm.
Because it seems like everybody's pretty much being reported by
their friends.
Other workers.
Yeah. Then we have Sherry Morrow.
Sad.
Yeah. Sherry Morrow, who was a 23-year-old topless dancer, told friends that she was meeting a photographer who had promised her $300 for nude images on November 17, 1981. She was never seen again. A shallow grave was discovered by hunters on the banks of the Nick River, which borders Anchorage, on September 12, 1982. Morrow, who was reported missing a year earlier, was identified from the remains. She had received three gunshot wounds to the back, and cartridges discovered close to the body revealed that a .223 Ruger Mini 14 hunting rifle had been used to deliver the shots. An odd feature was that, although the body was found fully clothed, there were no bullet holes in the clothing, suggesting that Sherry had been naked when she was shot and had been redressed after her death before being buried.
Wow.
At 11 p.m. on December 2nd, 1981, Andrea Mona, a.k.a. Fish, her name is Andrea Mona Altieri, but her nickname is Fish. Don't ask, okay? Don't ask. She was 24 and was last seen boarding a taxi to go to the Bonifaci Mall in Anchorage, Alaska. She intended to meet an unnamed male for a photo shoot and to perform exotic dances. She has not been seen or heard from since. When authorities searched Hansen's house, several of Altieri's possessions, including her fish necklace, were discovered. Hansen claimed that after he met her, he threatened her with a gun and abducted her, blindfolding and handcuffing her. Near the Nick Arm Bridge, they took a car to a service road off Palmer Highway. He unbound her there and abused her sexually. He killed her with a .22 Browning automatic pistol after she retaliated. He then stole Altieri's necklace, weighted a duffel bag with gravel, tied it to the dead woman, and threw her off the bridge and into the Nick River. Her body was never found. Yep. Then we have Sue Luna, a 23-year-old exotic dancer, voluntarily agreed to a $300 photo shoot offer with a nightclub patron. On May 26, 1982, she met Hansen in a diner parking lot in Anchorage, Alaska. The following day, Luna was reported missing. Hansen had abducted and killed Luna and then buried Luna in the Nick River. She was discovered on April 24, 1984. Hansen had her flee into the forest while hunting her like an animal while she was stripped naked and she had been shot to death. Yep. The partial skeletal remains of Robin Pelkey, 19, were found on April 25, 1984 in Palmer, Alaska, close to Horseshoe Lake. It was determined that she had been stabbed and shot. It is unknown if this victim was involved in sex work. In October 2021, forensic genealogy was used to determine her identity, having been known by the moniker Horseshoe Harriet before she was identified. Early in the 1980s, Pelkey resided in Anchorage, Alaska, and she vanished on July 19, 1983. Then we have Delin Renee Frey, also known as Sugar, a 22-year-old former resident of Anchorage, Alaska, who was last seen sometime in March 1983, but was not immediately reported missing. She was abducted and killed by Hansen. She was buried as Jane Doe in an Anchorage cemetery after her body was discovered on a Nick River sandbar by a pilot trying out new tires on August 20, 1985. It was not until 1989 that she was identified when an Alaska state trooper recognized her jewelry in a case file photo. Yep.
This one's a hard one, man.
There's more people. I think there's five more people, six? Six more people. We have Paula Goulding, 30, who was a dancer in Anchorage when, on April 25th, 1983, Hansen offered her money before kidnapping her. He drove her to his aircraft, shackled her, and demanded she exit the aircraft under threat of being shot. Once they reached a remote spot, she fought with him and attempted to get away. according to Hansen. She fled and he fired a .223 rifle at her, killing her instantly. On September 2, 1983, she was discovered on the Nick River, buried in a shallow grave. She had been wounded in the back, but because her clothing was undamaged, it is possible that she was shot while still naked and then clothed before being buried. Yep. Then we have Cindy Paulson, 17, who met Hansen on June 13, 1983, in Anchorage. After agreeing to pay for sex, Hansen instead pulled a .357 Magnum on her and kidnapped her. She was taken to his home, bound and sexually assaulted before Hansen took her to the Merrill Field, where his airplane was. Hansen left Paulson alone in his car while he began loading his plane, threatening to kill her if she ran away. She ran away towards Fifth Avenue. There, she was picked up by a passing driver, Robert Yount, and Yount took Paulson to a safe location and shortly after called police. At about the same time, a security guard at the Merrill Field noticed some suspicious activity, and although he made no contact, he noted the license tag for Hansen's car. Police located and interviewed Paulson about the attack. Then, on July 10, 1981, dancer Malay Larson, aged 28, was reported missing from Anchorage, Alaska. On April 24, 1984, her body was discovered in a parking lot close to the Nick Arm Bridge. Then we have dancer Teresa Watson, 22, was last seen in Anchorage on March 25, 1983. She informed her roommate that she was meeting a man who would give her $300 in exchange for an hour or two of company. At Scenic Lake, Hansen abducted her and killed her. Hansen was unable to bury her since the earth in the region was still frozen. He abandoned her where she had died, and she was discovered on May 17, 1984. Then we have 24-year-old Angela Lynn Federn, who was last seen on 4th Avenue in Anchorage sometime in February of 1983. She was not reported missing until May. The owner of a nightclub reported that Federn, one of his dancers, had gone missing. Hansen had kidnapped and murdered her, and Federn's body was found on April 26, 1984 on a small lake near the larger Figure 8 Lake. Then finally, we have 20-year-old Tamara Peterson, aka Tammy, who was a dancer at a nightclub in Anchorage. The last her family heard from her was during a phone call on August 7, 1982, when she claimed to have been offered money to pose for photographs. She was kidnapped and murdered by Hansen, and her body was not found until Hansen confessed and pointed out her body's location on the map. She was found 1.5 miles from the Old Nick Bridge on April 29, 1984. Yep. So once
all these poor lady.
Yeah. So once arrested, Hansen was charged with assault, kidnapping, multiple weapons offenses, theft, and insurance fraud. The last charge was related to a crime, claim filed with the insurance company over the alleged theft of some trophies. He used the proceeds to purchase his plane. At trial, he claimed he later recovered the trophies in his backyard but forgot to inform the insurer. Hansen entered into a plea bargain after ballistics tests returned a match between bullets found at the crime scenes and Hansen's rifle. He pleaded guilty to the four homicides the police had evidence for, Morrow, Messina, Goulding, and Eklutna Annie, and provided details about his other victims in return for serving his sentence in a federal prison, along with no publicity in the press. Another condition of the plea bargain was his participation in deciphering the markings on his aviation map and locating his victims' bodies. Hansen confirmed the police theory of how the women were abducted, adding that he would sometimes let a potential victim go if she convinced him that she would not report him to police. He indicated that he began killing in the early 1970s. Hansen showed investigators 17 grave sites in and around South Central Alaska, 12 of which were unknown to investigators. There remained marks on his map that he refused to give up, including three in Resurrection Bay near Seward. Authorities suspect two of these marks are the graves of Mary Thill and Megan Emmerich, whom Hansen has denied killing. The remains of 12 of a probable 21 to 37 victims were exhumed by the police and returned to their families. Hansen was sentenced to 461 years in prison without the possibility of parole. He was first imprisoned at the United States Penitentiary, Lewisburg, in Lewisburg, Pennsylvania. In 1988, he was returned to Alaska and briefly incarcerated at Lemon Creek Correctional Center in Juneau. He was also imprisoned at Spring Creek Correctional Center in Seward until May of 2014, when he was transported to the Anchorage Correctional Complex for health reasons. Hansen died on August 21, 2014, at the age of 75, at Alaska Regional Hospital in Anchorage due to natural causes related to lingering health conditions. And that is Alaskan murderer Robert Hansen.
Murder,
Murder.
murder,
Listen, he was crazy.
What a beast.
I
Wow.
know.
That was just brutal.
And the fact that he would like hunt them for sport,
Right.
basically, like that is sickening. Like absolutely disgusting. But he's dead, so yay.
Yay.
I hope it hurt. Well, it was natural, so I don't think it really hurt that bad, unfortunately. But I hope he's.
Cancer can be semi-natural.
Yeah, but that's not what it said he
I'm
died
just
from. But I
saying.
hope he's like living in hell where he belongs. You know what happened? Okay, imagine you're a murderer, right? And your whole purpose in the afterlife. You know how Chris Watts says that he sees his daughters as ghosts? Imagine that these women get to come and do to him what he
He
did
did
to
to them.
them every day. Like, imagine he has to relive that every single day for the rest of eternity. Would that not be the best thing ever?
They just get to beat him up every day.
Hell yeah. And there's enough of them that they don't even have to do it every day. They can
They can.
rotate. He's like, it's Tuesday. It's a Clutna Annie's turn.
It's like it's sister wives,
Dude,
and they're Cody.
I do wonder how that works. I don't wonder, but like,
What?
I think it's necessary that the people that he or that any murderer wronged
Murder,
get to beat him up in the afterlife.
right? He would deserve it for sure.
So.
I hope they get to smack him around. I hope they get to tie him up too when they
Right?
do it. Like the little girl with the hairbrush.
Oh yeah,
You
a
know,
hundred
I know
percent.
we all know that meme.
Yeah, but I'm just, yeah,
Yeah.
he was bad. He was a bad
I
dude.
like him.
I didn't like
But
him.
you did great because
Thank you.
you told that story very well.
Thank you. Appreciate that. There's a lot of moving parts.
Just wait till you hear my Alaska story.
I'm mad he had a murder map.
I know. My Alaska man is like a. He's a weird one too. I feel like we got a bunch of weirdos today.
I feel like all murderers are weirdos.
Yeah, but I don't.
But yeah. Well, that is Robert Hansen. Hopefully, you guys found that interesting.
Thank you so much for bringing that to us, pal.
Anytime, Brand.
Listen, I'm burbling over here. I know you can hear me.
So, I was telling my story.
I know, but I'm just
It's
saying.
all
It's
good.
like,
It happens.
I don't want
It's
people to think we have like random
gas?
things going on in the background, like
I
my
mean, God
stuff.
forbid you have gas.
No, it's not that, but I'm just saying, like, you'll hear people say that they're podcast is haunted and this and that. I don't want people to think that they're hearing like random things in the background.
No, I get that.
It's
Well,
not a ghost, it's my stomach. It's Sleevie Wonder.
Sleevy Wonder. We
He's
love
making
Sleevy
the
Wonder.
random noises.
Well, I hope you guys enjoyed that. Please consider following us on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. We also have a Patreon.
$5 or $8, come and join us. Get all that goodies.
Yeah, because we do four different series over there. So that's fun. And then also, we're going to try and do a giveaway, which we're getting really
Yes.
close on. So be on
Go
the
like our
lookout for
page.
that. Yeah, like our Facebook page. And yeah, I think that's it.
That's all.
Do you have
That's all,
any
folks.
last minute words for the fans?
As always, lock your doors and don't play with Ouija boards.
And as always, there's probably something sinister right in your own backyard.
Dun dun dun.